I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We are nearly halfway home today on G&D as we reach the 4 o'clock hour. With you until 6:30. So much to get into. Back 2.5 hours of the show, but we kick things off right now with your Beltway Blitz. You know the drill. We're covering the teams in town you care the most about, starting with the Wizards. And Ava Wallace covers the Wiz for the Washington Post. Ava, appreciate a couple of minutes. I guess let's start with last night's storyline. John Wall versus Bradley Beal. Wall against the Wizards. Houston gets the win. Wall gets the last laugh for now. And then after the game on Houston's network, he said that he thought the Wizards gave up on him. Do you buy that? What'd you think of last night's scene?
Yeah, you got to buy when a player says they feel slighted, right? Because he's feeling what he's feeling. You know, we had so many conversations with GM Tommy Shepard and Scott Brooks before the season about how much they were hyping John Wall coming back. But it doesn't really matter if John feels like the team didn't believe in him. That's what he was feeling. And he kind of said that afterwards. You know, he said what he had to say. And then in Houston's post game, they'd kind of moved on and said, Houston's on a 3-game win streak. How nice is it just to be back having fun? And John Wall responded, the most important thing is I'm at a place where I'm wanted. And it's nice to feel like that. So, yeah, no bones about how he's feeling right now.
The Wizards aren't very good. I know that's not a hot take. But some of the folks I'm arguing with on Twitter, and by the way, I've been doing a lot of that these last 24 hours, but some of the folks are like, well, they don't have a bunch of their guys. When Troy Brown comes back, or Rui comes back, or Davis Bertans comes back, anyway, they weren't playing great when all those guys were available. I think something's wrong here. I think the biggest thing is Russell Westbrook doesn't look totally healthy to me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look totally healthy to anybody, and Scott Brooks and he's been pretty clear about that. They said, healthy, but he's not 100% basketball wise. And we kind of asked about the difference between that and got into the weeds a little bit there. But yeah, Russ hasn't been playing like himself. He hasn't been able to really get to the rim as much as he'd like to. Hasn't been as aggressive as he'd like to. I think he'd tell you that too. I mean, I agree with you completely. You know, the Wizards will point to that win over Phoenix the night before kind of everything fell apart for them in the coronavirus. And they're confident. They were starting to put things together in that game on the offensive end, a little bit of improvement on the defensive end. But, you know, it's really weird to talk about the Wizards season outlook right now because they have so many guys who are still in coronavirus protocol who are starting to kind of come back, but then have to work back into basketball shape. So what the Wizards look like over the next couple of weeks is going to be really interesting and probably pretty weird, just like the last 2 weeks have been.
Yeah, that's going to continue, it seems like. Ava Wallace of the Washington Post. Russell Westbrook has the same number of shots as points this season. This has been a mess. How hurt is he, or is it just that he doesn't have a lot left? Should I be completely concerned that this is a disaster? What are we thinking?
It's definitely concerning. It's concerning when he was being held out of preseason games way back in December, and we kind of kept asking, so this is just a resting thing? This is just something that the team said that they were doing at the time? Of course, comes out later that Russ took the left quad injury in training camp. So he hasn't been right all season, pretty much. And he had the 9 days off of basketball, came back, still wasn't right. So the timeline there for him getting better, which Scott Brooks does say, you know, he's not playing like himself. He's going to get better. He's going to work himself back into shape. the timeline becomes the question then, right? If he had all these, this time off and he had all this time to work back into shape on his own, what's going to do the trigger for him? He's out tonight in New Orleans for rest again. So they're continuing on that kind of careful time management with him. But it's pretty concerning right now, I think, for everybody involved, for sure.
Ava, thank you. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks.
All right, we'll talk soon. How about some Washington football team, please? Everybody, Rick Snyder, columnist, 106.7 The Fan, and other spots. Rick, how likely do you think this Matt Stafford to Washington, D.C. thing is? There are other teams that are going to be competing. How likely do you think it is he ends up in burgundy and gold?
I think they give him a phone call about it, and in the end of the day, I don't think it happens for them.
Expound upon that, Rick. Why?
Okay. I just, you know, one thing, Ron Rivera has not traded his first-round pick, you know, back in Carolina and all that. So he's not inclined to do that. I think they're still kind of waiting on Alex, too. But, I mean, the clock's ticking. There's a lot of talk that this will happen before the Super Bowl. And I don't think Ron's wanting to get rushed into this kind of thing either. You still have Watson on the board technically out there. I don't think Rodgers is. But, you know, I think you would overpay for Stafford. You're kind of hoping to underpay for Watson. I know Mayhew has Detroit ties, but I don't put anything really into that. So, I mean, I say it's 50-50 max. I just think they won't want to pay the price that it's going to take, because it's going to take, given the competition for it, a first-rounder and a player. And I was thinking today, okay, if you give a first and would say Jonathan Allen, because he's the last year on his contract, and you're going to have to break this D-line up. I hate to tell people this, but it will be working at some point. But then if I give that, I want something else back, like a third from Detroit. So there's, you know, it's not a simple kind of thing. Houston, I'd say, okay, here's Chase Young. Give me Deshaun Watson. We'll see everybody tomorrow. That'd be a great trade for both sides. But, I just don't think Ron's going to go into this one. I could be wrong. I think it's a coin flip.
Rick, you mentioned Martin Mayhew, and now, you know, Marty Herney's here as well, and now you've got Ron Rivera. This is kind of their first major test, right? This is their first major activity before the draft, before anything else, figuring out who the hell the quarterback's going to be. How do you think this process is going to go with all these new additions?
Well, the one thing you don't want to do is make a mistake. Like, you were just talking about Westbrook for Wall. I wrote that in the Fan today, too. Like, gee, maybe that wasn't a good idea in the end. So the same thing for football. You know, better to do nothing than to make a mistake. And, you know, Stafford's getting older and he's had a back injury. It doesn't thrill me here to say, let's go get him. I mean, he's okay, but I would never pay. This is just the first challenge. Free agency starts in 6 weeks, something like that. You have your draft coming up. I mean, there's a whole series of things. If they come to August 1st and start training camp, whatever day it is, and they don't have, you know, Alex is there with, you know, with Kyle and Taylor. Okay, I wouldn't be shocked by that either. And is that a failure on their part? It just, no, because at least they didn't overpay for something.
Rick, are you surprised the Chiefs are only 3-point favorites in the Super Bowl?
It must be the Brady factor. I mean, God, you don't want to bet against Brady. I mean, you're on the poorhouse betting against Brady. That's been proven. But you know Kansas City is the better team. So if you made it 7, well, then all the money's on the Patriots. You got to remember, their whole job is to try and balance the two sides of betting, and not what they think the game score is going to be, although that's kind of coincidental, too. I think it's the Brady respect is the reason it's not 6.
Rick, thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it.
All right, guys. See
you. Let's talk a little puck, please. Everybody, Brian McNally is going to talk about the Capitals. Brian, I feel like they had to wear some name tags. I didn't know a lot of the people. I had to like do a lot of Googling while I'm looking at my computer. They ended up beating their opponent last night. I still can't believe how it happened. I still don't understand how they're doing this, but they're finding a way to get points without anybody that ends in Ev or off in their lineup. How is this happening?
No, I have no idea, Danny. Like, nobody has any ideas to that question. I'm with you. I was watching that power play. I mean, that's a, you know, the other team takes a major. You got 5 minutes. You can score as many times as you want. The Caps should feast on that, right? Well, I don't know half the players jumping over the boards. Like, I don't know anyone who's they're turning to in that situation. They didn't get it done on the power play. They still came out with the goal late. I don't know. It's a testament to a coaching staff that's kind of been thrown into the fire here without four of your key players, without a fifth one injured. without two of your centers last night, Lars Eller and Nick Backstrom, joining, you know, heading off with injuries, and yet they won. How did they do it? I don't know. I just know that they've somehow kind of made it through this period without Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Orlov and Samsonov with a lot of points and in first place in their division. So we'll see if they can do it again tomorrow without that crew.
Yeah, they've got points in all seven of their games. I mean, this deep into the season, it's not something they've done in many, many years. And Vanecek is off to the best start since Jim Carrey was between the pipes to begin a career. I mean, just crazy, some of the things that are happening. How much of it is that they played the Sabres a lot? I mean, last night was awesome, but let's see if they can do that twice against the Islanders. They haven't trailed in any period. And while I heap all the praise in the world on Laviolette and this crew, it's not like they're playing at a level that says they shouldn't have trailed at any point after 20 minutes.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think maybe last night was their best sustained effort, Grant. I think that's fair to say, but it wasn't. It's not like in every one of these games they're rolling through three periods and just crushing it the way they maybe did in 16, 17, you know, parts of the 18 season before things went off the rails before the playoffs. So, you know, it's not that team anymore, right? Even if they get their star players back, you know, this isn't a team that's probably going to run away with this division. For them, you know, to keep this window propped open, it's all about getting used to this coaching staff as much as you can in the, you know, the first. Yeah, but what, they only have 56 games before the playoffs, so we're already down to like 45, 46 games left before you start talking about the part of the season that really matters for this franchise, which is propping open that Stanley Cup window. So, you know, when they get everybody healthy, can they sustain this? Can they build on it? You know, that I think all remains to be seen. But you know, it's. For now, it's just kind of survive and get to next week when everybody's back on the same page.
Brian, this isn't a question. I'm just going to say something and then be done talking. Then I want you to say stuff, okay? I like Daniel Sprong. I do. I like Daniel Sprong. Go from there.
Yeah, so the Caps are really good, Danny, and have been for a couple of years now, right? The Brett Conleys of the world. They purchase lottery tickets and just see what happens. And, you know, Look great last night, got a key goal, tied up the game. He's got a lot of talent. He was a high prospect with the Penguins for a reason. Traded to the Ducks, didn't make it, you know, take advantage of that chance. But he's younger than Jacob Brana, right? Like, this is a guy that's scored double-digit goals in the league. Sometimes you have late bloomers. Brett Conley was the perfect example of that here. He was considered a bust with other teams. He was considered a prospect that didn't pan out. Caps took a chance on him, gave him an opportunity. He was part of a Stanley Cup champion. So the hope is that if you give Daniel Sprong some opportunities, and he's getting that with these injuries and everything, that he can make it look smart. And it's something that they've been good at as an organization at identifying those candidates. Whether it works out, we'll see. But you had to like what you saw last night of a guy taking advantage of some chances he maybe wasn't going to get with everybody healthy.
Brian, thank you, buddy. Excellent insight as always, sir.
Thank you, guys.
See the best. There's Brian McNally on the Caps from NBC Sports Washington. And that is your Beltway Blitz. Several of you still on hold want to tell us what you would trade, what you wouldn't trade for Matthew Stafford. You could chime in at 800-636-1067. Also next, what impact will the Bucks playing Super Bowl 55 in Tampa Bay have on the game? And we've got a guest announcement. We got a surprise cool guest coming up on the show today. It's all coming up next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I don't run, but if I ran, I would run to this song. I could see myself trotting out of the bullpen, glove on my left hand, like tucked. You know how I would tuck it like a little wing right into my chest, Danny? And then I would give you a good speed trot out to the mound to this song right here.
Now, would you go Todd Coffey coming out of the bullpen to it where there's a time? Because that's
this
too fast.
This body don't sprint, buddy. It doesn't look good sprinting. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things flailing about.
Neither
it's just
did
a
Todd
slow...
Coffey's body look good.
No, it didn't, but that was his choice. I'm not making that choice. This is a slow stroll. This is a nice Saturday jog, if
Take
you will.
Take my
this
time.
I'm walking my dog, and the dog saw another dog, and so it's pulling me along a little bit kind of pace.
The to me, the most intimidating and the best way to do it is the Trevor Hoffman. So, obviously, he was a Hell's Bells guy, and that was just iconic when he would come out of the bullpen.
Entrance.
His entrance was outstanding. So, he's got that little shoulder shake thing that he does. To like he's got got a spider on each shoulder, and he's shaking them off. Then the gate opens, and he would do that little hop step. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, better start moving. Little hop step, and then glove in the right hand. Purposeful jog, but not in a hurry. I'm going to get there when I get there. And here come change-ups, and you're not going to hit them. Right? You're going to be shaking your damn head when it's over with.
The hop step.
He had the
step.
Best entrance.
I
you're
know
the hop step,
exactly
right?
What you're talking about.
The little hop step.
I could do it right now, and it gets me amped up thinking about a reliever. Right when they come around the bend, they get out from the door. So now they're on the outfield grass or
yep.
the warning track.
Warning track.
And they give you that little step to get their momentum to get. It's almost
on,
like.
Dude.
The running version of a crow hop, right? It just
yeah.
gives you that little momentum to propel you
exactly.
forward. Oh, he had a good entrance.
So Rivera
by the way,
was much calmer.
Pitchers,
yeah. Oh, go ahead, please.
I just want to let people know, and we can talk Mariano Rivera in a second if you'd like, that a five-time All-Star and a three-time World Series champion, new national, John Lester, just became official that he's a national within the last hour. He's going to be on the show coming up in 40 minutes. We'll have John
hey,
Lester on today at 5:10 on nice. Grant and Danny. So make sure you're listening at that time.
Well, that is a good deal. So as you're saying, there's also the I might fall asleep entrance, which is also terrifying. Like the Mo Rivera style, obviously enter Sandman's going, and he's like, okay, I'm so calm. I'm just going to go out there and easy 94, and it moves like the nastiest slider of all time. You know, like that one was pretty good too.
Very much his style, his own. Heath Bell did a bit a couple times, I think mostly like all-star wackies and just – when he was trying to do shtick, where he always sprinted. Like, that was always his thing, a la Todd Coffey, and he was another portly fella. But in the All-Star game, he got out in the infield and slid in the middle of the infield and took up a big chunk of grass. But he was just booking it. And I always love it because guys like Heath Bell or Todd Coffey, who are, you know, a biscuit away from 320, they're running away from the cameramen that are trying to run in from the bullpen with them. And they're just hauling it.
Yeah.
Always good to watch. The best entrance ever, though, I don't remember anything he did specifically, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't know if he had a whole routine or what it was. I just remember that it was a big deal when Eric Gagne came into games for a couple years with the Dodgers. Do you remember him?
Yes. Of course. Yeah, what, how many consecutive saves was it? It was like
I want to say the number 84 is standing out to me, but I might be making that
no.
up.
No, 84 straight saves?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it right now. For some reason, that's the number when you said that jumped out at me, but I also could completely be making that number up. But, yeah, by the way, that's actually – this is one of those things where sometimes I say things.
84?
And then you were like,
"That's right."
You think that I need some kind of help. Yes, 84 consecutive saves for Eric Gagne is the number on the nose. But anyway, his entrance with the Dodgers, I don't know. I can't remember it all specifically, but I just know that like you stopped whatever you were doing to watch if he was about to come into the game and it was being shown on TV.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about this. And I just was stunned, by the way, we're just blowing past the fact that you got 84, right? I thought it was in the 50s. 84
like,
straight,
remember
absurd.
The time? It's yes. Always something so useless. Like, you could ask me how many games Dwayne Haskins started last year, and I'll botch it. You could ask me how many, games so-and-so won the Super Bowl. Tom Malone's pitching line that day, because I remember sitting at ZZQ Barbecue in Richmond,
seven innings,
listening to the game on the radio. Like, that's the weird stuff that I wish I could just delete it like a computer so that I could make room for stuff that mattered.
But it's in there. This is what I have in my head. Tell me if I'm right about this. Did he come in to Welcome to the Jungle, Eric Gagne?
Ooh, that sounds right.
I kind of feel like I have that on the nose. And if I'm wrong, I'll be embarrassed. But I think that's what it was.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure that, yeah. And I just know that it was the entrance. It was like a WWE promo getting cut every time the glass shattered and Stone Cold came down the ramp onto the ring when he was at his apex.
Because it was doubly important because he's a Dodger. Guns N' Roses is like the L.A. band. That's where they came up playing, and they were just absolutely iconic and electric playing in these clubs these rock clubs in Los Angeles, and that's kind of where they came up. They put this L.A. rock, right back on the map. It was such a huge deal, so it meant a lot to L.A. Gagne means a lot to L.A., and it was just awesome when he came out of the pens. I feel like I have that right.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Earlier in the show, we were talking about what we would trade for Matthew Stafford, and the topic was, make your best offer, so to speak. Win the bidding war, posting style, like bringing a player over from Japan where you don't get to know what other teams are offering and everyone submits at the exact same time and the best offer gets him. And Danny threw out there that he is giving the Lions their choice of any player on the roster other than Terry McLaurin and a third-round pick. And so immediately I said, wait a second. You mean you're not protecting Chase Young? And he said, no, Chase Young in a third. Did you know that this would blow up the way that it did? On Twitter, on the phones. I mean, it has been an hour barrage of you at this point for Washington football fans.
No, I had a feeling. I mean, because people, we do this. The Washington fans do this. They'll tell you that Darius Geis is a Hall of Famer, that he's the greatest ever when he had one good game. He had a good preseason that time. We fall in love with these guys, and people get very, very protective of hyped-up players that people are excited about. And you should be excited about Chase Young. He's good. He's got a chance to be great, even. Hall of Fame caliber. Even. But to me, there's nothing that compares to the value of having a quarterback. Well, you just look at the final four teams, for example, how they're built. Now, I'm not saying you get one of those, you just have one of those four guys readily available, but Matt Stafford is infinitely closer to that than he is to the past 35 years, give or take a couple small samples of Kirk Cousins, Brad Johnson, than Washington has enjoyed. To me, there's nothing comparing the value of a starting quarterback that's above the threshold than even a high quality defensive end like Chase Young.
Totally. Agree with you that they have to do everything they can to close the quarterbacking gap. I think for me, and I won't speak for anybody else, we've talked about this on the show ad nauseum, and we've gone back and forth about it. You have a Chase Young thing you just have. And so every conversation about Chase Young kind of starts already with a little bit of frustration for me. But I can't see trading him for a 32-year-old quarterback who's had some shoulder and back problems. But if your point is as simple as, I'm desperate to get a veteran quarterback, it's more important to have a quarterback than an edge rusher, even if that guy becomes a Pro Bowler every single year, that doesn't get you anything if you don't have a quarterback. I think that's a pretty reasonable enough argument, even if I'm as anti-trading Young for Stafford as you can be. Let's go to Derek and Burke on line one. Derek, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, fellas.
What's up, bud?
How's it going? I just want to make a couple comments here about your proposals. Definitely don't want to make a comment about Chase on a trade. That's just delusional. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But just giving a one to Stafford, he's old, injury prone. I think.
Well, hold on, he's not old. After someone that's 32 comp- is.
Well, you
32.
Know what? I would.
Hang
say,
on, I'm going to let you finish. Yeah, I'm going to let you finish.
Okay.
It's old
for D lineman. Yeah.
32. If you're a running back, that's old. If you're a wide receiver, you're getting up there. He's a quarterback.
Exactly.
You're going to watch a 43-year-old. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to let you finish. You're going to watch a 43-year-old play in the Super Bowl. He had a 37-year-old that he beat in the NFC Championship game. And there's another guy who was 41 playing deep into the playoffs. You take care of your body different at that position anymore. Go ahead.
Exactly, but those guys are different. They're proven. Stratford's not proven at all. I mean, he's had pretty good teams in the past with the Lions.
That's not an age thing.
Okay, but either way, he does not compliment the team. I think they would actually be better if they're going to even trade a one, go at least for Aaron Rodgers or Watson. You could do that. I understand. But you do not give a one, not even a two for Stafford. A high three, maybe, not even that. Why not go after someone like Mariota until you find the ideal guy for us to be proven? You know what I'm saying? Take us to the promised land, pretty much. We have a good team.
Do you think Marcus Mariota is better than Matt Stafford, or you just like him because you'd have to give up us
together? No, I don't want to give a high draft pick and not put a lot of money in Stafford, who's injury prone. He's not even going to play full games this year. He's not.
He's missed eight games in almost 10 years in the league. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Missed eight games in
what
a
has
decade.
He proven?
I think 12 seasons or something like that. What's that?
The question, Grant, is what has he proven? I mean, I think you have to repeat that question a number of times, and it sort of makes things so.
Just he's been proven outstanding for years.
Yeah, he can prove he can be the quarterback of an 11-win team. Name the Washington quarterback that's done that since I was 10 years old. You can't because there isn't one. He's proven plenty that he's better than anybody they've had in a long time. More consistent, has made more with less. Now, the record isn't great, but you know that we don't do that on this show. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We don't do that. We look at how people play, and he's got times, by the way, where he didn't play particularly well. That's why he's not in that class with Aaron Rodgers. By the way, good luck getting a call back from Green Bay when you leave a voicemail and let them know, hey, we'll give you a one for Aaron Rodgers. See what they say back. See how that return phone call goes.
Some years from Matt Stafford. What has he proven? Well, I'll give you some numbers. Had a 41-touchdown season in a year in which he threw for 5,000 passing yards. He had a 29-touchdown season in a year where he threw for 4,700 yards. He had and by the way, some of these years were on good teams, not just terrible teams. That 5,000-yard season where he threw 40 touchdowns.
10-6.
That team went 10-6 and was a playoff team. So it's not like you're just chasing games and it's garbage time. When they were 11-5, the one year Detroit has been really, really good, they said, Matt, you don't have to throw it that much. And he still threw for 4,300 yards that season and had basically a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. But, I mean, yeah, what has he proven? He's proven he's a 4,000-yard passer. Mid-20s or higher touchdowns, 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. You've had one guy here that's done that in 30 years. Now, if you're not willing, and we're asking you what's the best you're going to give up, and you answered, so I'm not crushing you. Your point is I'm not willing to give much up. Okay, you're not getting Matt Stafford because there's going to be five or six teams that are giving up first and second round picks potentially, one or the other, obviously. And third rounder maybe, you're saying? Okay, I would pay for a $200,000 house in Northern Virginia. Let's go find one. Where are they?
Let's go do that.
That's what I'm willing to give you. I'm going to give you $200,000. Let's go find a house in Northern Virginia. Where do I live now? This is not a thing. 800-636-1067 is the number. Tampa Bay is playing a Super Bowl at home. How's that going to impact the game, positively or negatively for the Bucs? Bruce Arians is trying to make the case that it's actually a bad thing for the Bucs. We'll get into that. From John Lester. Bruce Arians is trying to make the case, Danny, that the Bucs are worse off, not better, for playing in their home stadium in the Super Bowl. And I got to give him credit. He is selling this. I mean, he is working hard. He's going door to door, and he is trying to get you to put pen to paper on this security system or something. But I'm just not buying what he's selling. Darius, pull that cut up, and we can play it in a second. But I'm sure you've heard, like I have, Danny, everyone keeps bringing this up and saying, man, that's a tough break for Kansas City. You're playing against a team that is playing in its home stadium. It's being viewed like this is a huge benefit to Tampa Bay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think it really helps them. You know, normally when you get to town at the Super Bowl, everybody's pulling and tugging. You try to get everything done the week before. And then when you hit town, you got all the media obligations and your practice and your game plans are all put in. I think it's a great advantage for them. It's just an away game. You know, they get to do their normal prep just like we do. Nobody's going to get tied up in all that stuff.
George Costanza once said, very famously, "Remember, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it." So I guess, decide that somehow this makes you the underdog, get to sleep in your own bed. I mean, listen, you're that coach of an NFL football team. These are men. The idea that, now they'll be so distracted. No, they won't. They'll be fine. You got Tom Brady. If there's a kid that doesn't know what to do, "Mr. Brady, my lord, I'm here prepared for the Super Bowl. Whatever should I do to get ready? I'm worried about distractions." He will help you. He'll tell you to hit mute on your phone. He'll give you some TB12 powder. Everything will be fine. This is nonsense. Now, I get that maybe you could spin it a certain way that it's not as great an advantage as I might like to think it is. I'll buy that because I had it as a massive advantage. So now I'll lower that to it's still a pretty good advantage.
I would much rather play the Super Bowl. I'm giving them a couple of points, and that's why it's a 3-point spread, not 5. You know, that's what I was kind of thinking, honestly, coming into the week, coming into hearing that cut. I think that he's acting like this is a normal year. Here's what I mean by that. In a normal year, non-COVID division, there's going to be thousands of people descending on the Super Bowl city. There's going to be hundreds more media than there will be this year. There will be friends and family of these players coming, trying to get tickets, hitting them up for tickets. You make the Super Bowl, random wide receiver to be named later. Your mom and her, husband or your dad or, your sister and her husband and, their three kids are all in town and they're all coming over for dinner on Wednesday and Thursday. Like, all that stuff I could see happening. It's not happening this year. This is a different thing. It's COVID. You're either at home with your immediate family or there are no guests. There aren't thousands of people going to the game. There's not going to be thousands of people trying to get tickets. It's like some nurses and first responders and doctors and a couple hundred fans from each team. I think he's acting like this is Super Bowl 3 years ago, and I just think this year is different. I don't see those distractions on the same level. Sorry.
You got an extra Zoom call this week from a family member wishing you good luck? You can control all that, man. Yeah. Like, nobody's
somebody
coming
jumps
over
on
with
house
a potluck
party on your app and says they want you to throw a touchdown?
Yeah, right. Nobody's ringing the doorbell like, we made you the quiche and we're just excited and we're tickled pink for you. So good luck in the Super Bowl. No one's doing that. Everybody's staying away from everybody. We're all messed up. Go to the Super Bowl. It's at home. It's easy to get there.
This reminds me of a really good story, and I hope I'm not botching who told it years ago. I think it was Hunter the Punter Smith when he was here in Washington. That's who I'm going to give credit to. And if I'm wrong, then I apologize. But it was a former Colt who came to Washington when I was on the beat, and they were talking about Peyton Manning, and the Colts were going to the Super Bowl. And the way I remember the story is just kind of how, like, all-powerful Peyton Manning was and dealing with distractions. And Tony Dungy was given a speech right after they won the AFC title game. I think it was Dungy at the time. And he basically got through the whole spiel and speech, and he's, or maybe it was after a practice or something. He said, here's the plan. You know, we're going to fly out, and we'll allow for families in the hotel rooms for, like, these days. And then this is the plan from when we buckle down, say, on Wednesday to the game or whatever. And Peyton Manning, like, as soon as he was done, the way the story went that I was told, just said, actually, guys, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to have our own rooms and our own hotel. No families allowed. Like, something, basically, that was
perfect.
And he just spoke, and it was over. I was like, all right, never mind. The planning that we'd done as an organization the last couple years and what the head coach just said, not relevant anymore because Peyton Manning has decided we're not going to do it that way.
Yeah, the logistical equivalent of him waving off the putt team. You know what I mean? Like, nope, we're not doing that at all.
So, but I understand why he'd want to do that, and I understand that what Bruce Arians is saying is a real thing. I do believe there are massive distractions, particularly for a team that's not veteran. For the Chiefs, who went through it last year, they could probably handle the normal distractions better. For a lot of the young guys on Tampa Bay or players who haven't done it before, you've got a million people hitting you up and pulling you in all directions, and guys you played with in high school and college are all, you know, high-fiving you virtually and texting you. You can get caught up in that. I just think this year it's so different that it's just less to worry about. Maybe I'm off base.
No, I don't think you're off base. I think you are comfortable there. You haven't taken your lead yet. No danger of a pickoff throw. You're standing there having banter with the first baseman after your ripped single into left center field.
5 at 5, top of the hour. John Lester in 15 minutes at 5:10 right here on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.